to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show on this Wednesday morning, the 25th of November, 2020. Plenty coming your way. Andrew Mays with you right through until 6 o'clock before the Breakfast Club boys take over. Let's start in the cricketing world. Steve Smith, speaking from isolation yesterday, was very bored asking questions all day on Instagram and Facebook of his fans. Anyway, it sounds like he's found the secret to unlock what was a bit of a lean patch of form in the IPL.
Last few days, actually, I've found something that, you know, people, I guess, close to me that know me well, I've sort of found my hands the last few days, which is, you know, I'm extremely excited about, and it's taken me probably about three and a half, four months to do it, but found them now, which is pleasing.
Plenty of batting on his own in isolation there, Steve Smith. I wouldn't want to be next to him in hotel quarantine. You'd be up all night. Soccer now, the Melbourne Victory back in action last night. This is their Asian Champions League campaign. Didn't quite go as well, perhaps, as they had hoped.
Trying the trick, Cam Soba took it away. Mario Letanzio leaves it for Iannucci, and the deflection and the victory. Pull one back here. Gianluca Iannucci should be credited with a goal on his senior debut, and it makes you wonder why it's been 4 years in the making.
He was indeed credited with the goal, but it wasn't quite enough. The Melbourne Victory going down 3-1 in the Asian Champions League last night. More on that to come a little later in the Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Stacks to come on the show, including Aussie NBA star Aaron Baines, who's just signed a 2-year deal with the Toronto Raptors. He'll join the guys at 6:30, the early mail, before 7 o'clock after a winner yesterday. Thank you very much. Sherelle McMahon, Australia's greatest ever netballer, on after 7, as always on a Wednesday. Mark Polmans, Australian tennis player, ahead of the Australian Summer of Tennis and what it might look like from his point of view. Karen Harrington, Carlton AFLW captain, to join the guys before 8 o'clock, as will Matthew Mott, the Australian women's cricket team coach. After 8 this morning, looking forward to this. The RSN Legends series continues today with Big Merv, Merv Hughes on, former Australian fast bowler, and of course a big personality in the world of cricket. Can't wait to hear Merv's thoughts on his career after 8 this morning. So much to get through on a busy Wednesday. Don't forget, as always, Racing Pulse with Matty Stewart from 8:30, and then from 10:30, Gareth Hall and RSN Central. So that's how it all lies this morning. Keep it locked on RSN. Let's start with the cricketing world. You heard Steve Smith. He's been very busy batting on his own in isolation, and he spoke yesterday about perhaps having a point to prove after missing the last series against India.
I don't know if it makes me hungrier. I'm always pretty hungry to go out and perform and do well. I guess it was tough being able to being watching from the sideline, and particularly with the team not doing as well as obviously they would have liked, and losing that series, that was difficult to watch, knowing that I felt I could go out and have an impact if I was playing.
Steve Smith speaking there yesterday. Let's have a listen to what he had to say about the short ball, which some perceive as a weakness of his.
People can go for that. It's kind of, in a way, it's you know, a bit of flattery. If people believe that that's the only way they can get me out because they've exhausted so many more options, it gives me a lot of confidence to know that.
And we'll finish with Steve Smith on his thoughts on Virat Kohli missing the rest of the test series after the opening test in Adelaide.
Virat's obviously of high quality, and we know how good he's been in all forms for a long period of time. So he's certainly going to leave a hole, but I still do believe that they've got some quality batters waiting in the wings to come in and fill that void.
More cricket to come a little later in the Breakfast Bite. We'll hear from Alan Border and his thoughts on the opening pair of Australia after he spoke to Fox Sports yesterday. Let's head to the soccer world now. As you heard, Melbourne Victory 3-1 going down overnight to Beijing in the Asian Champions League. Beijing had 3 on the board before Victory could put one in the back of the net. It was the youngster Iannucci on 78 minutes getting one goal back, but it wasn't quite enough for the Melbourne Victory as they went down at 3-1. So a little bit of a disappointing result for them. They were going to have most things go their way at the end of this group stage. They're now sitting in third place in Group E behind Beijing and FC Seoul. So it's going to be a hard road from here. They're 3 points behind FC Seoul, who are in second position there. So hopefully they can finish the next two matches with a bang, and you never know what might happen in the Asian Champions League in terms of their progression. They will play Beijing a little later on the 27th of November as well. So that clash to come a little later next week, and then they take on in match day 5 Chiang Rai as well. So good luck to the Melbourne Victory in their last couple of matches in the group stage of the Asian Champions League. Sydney FC, meanwhile, they're in action tonight against John Buck Motors. So good luck to the Sky Blues. Hopefully we can get some Australians or Australian teams through to the next round. Let's stick with soccer. And on one of the other sides of town, Western United here, and Mark Rodan speaking yesterday on Fox Sports ahead of a possible big signing for Melbourne's newest team.
We have spoken. Like I said, I'm kind of out of order if I was to tell you anything more than that. But we're very, very close. These things take time, and normally with the kind of player that we're speaking to, it does take time. You know, he's played over 300 games. In the top division in one of the strongest leagues in the world. He's captained his club for 5 out of 7 years. He's an absolute legend at where he was playing. He comes at a very good age, 32 as well. And, that's pretty much all I can say. It narrows it down to about 1,000,003 players, I think, in the world, Hannah. So hopefully that helps you somewhat.
Doesn't it all? Kept us all guessing there, Margaret Ann. But some exciting news. A defensive midfielder of obviously world-class on his way to Western United, it sounds like there. Let's now head to Stephen Mawk. It was the launch of the A-League season yesterday with the fixture being announced, but Stephen Mawk hoping that he can really capitalise on some increased responsibility after a few departures from Adelaide United.
You lose a great player in Riley, and everyone has to step up and play a little bit better. And I think in the role that I'll play this season is going to be a preferred position. And hopefully quite similarly to Riley, I can score a lot of goals and help my teammates out and probably become more of a leader to help the younger players out, especially as we've got such a young squad as well.
To racing news now, you would have heard Martin Pakula on Racing Pulse on Monday outline that it was very unlikely that there would be crowds at both the picnic races this weekend at Woolamyne, also at Warrnambool for the Jericho Cup. Yesterday on Racing Pulse, Matt Stewart got the latest from a couple of the people in charge. First of all, a voice very familiar to us on RSN, Adam Olszanski, who is the president of the Woolamyne races. Here's what he had to say about crowds.
We were cautiously optimistic earlier in the month when the Premier indicated that yesterday, outdoor events and the restrictions around them would slowly be lifted. And we sort of thought, well, maybe 5 days into that period, by the time we get to Saturday, we might be able to be one of the first events, not just racing events, but outdoor events that might be able to have a small crowd. And we didn't quite know at the time what that number would be, and we were just happy with a couple of hundred, not necessarily 500. But it just seems that the work is still taking place behind the scenes, as you heard from Mr. Pakula, and the racing industry is still meeting with government, and the framework's not quite ready. And even if the framework does get released and those guidelines do become public later in the week, it just wasn't enough time for our volunteer committee. We're entirely volunteer-based, including myself, to put together and to act on those guidelines in what might be only 1 or 2 days before Saturday. So we were definitely up for the challenge. We're excited that Country Racing had nominated us for being the first picnic racing meeting of the season and had cancelled all the others up to this week. And I think they're disappointed as well. They probably also saw there was a good chance that we might be able to be the meeting that has a slow reintroduction to crowds, but it's not to be. It just, as you mentioned, it's probably just a week too early.
So a bit unlucky there for the Woolamyne races. What about Warrnambool with the Jericho Cup, which has become such a great event over the last couple of years? Here's their CEO, Tom O'Connor, speaking on Racing Pulse yesterday.
It is, Matt. It probably sums up 2020 for the Warrnambool Racing Club, to be honest. But we're a little bit disappointed. But at the end of the day, I think the most important thing with once we get hold of the framework is that we're able to race, with safely with crowds on course and do it properly and ensure that once the gates do open, that we can keep them open.
So you've got some two or three really significant meetings over the Christmas New Year period. Are you confident that by then you might be able to get a few through the gates?
Yeah, look, I think confident in the our leadership through RV and Country Racing Victoria are certainly working pretty tirelessly behind the scenes to get things right, and the industry's shown throughout the year that been pretty resilient and keep things moving and keep operating. So I'm pretty confident that there'll be some form of ability to adapt the framework to those meetings in the summer program.
All right. What had been the hope for the Jericho? What was the most optimistic pitch that you'd probably hope to get over the line?
Yeah, look, we've got a fantastic brand new facility here, Matt, with the Matilda Room development that still hasn't been officially open. So we were really keen to see that in full operation, and we're still pushing to see if we can get some business partners in there on Sunday along with owners. But yeah, we're obviously keen to get that room full with members and business partners. You know, as a club, we've been had tremendous support from our sponsors and members in 2020. We've got over 700 still listed on the books from a membership point of view, which, they're not getting a great deal of return at the moment, but it's been just, magnificent for them to support us. And the interesting fact about that, Matt, is that, over around 50% of them are based outside of Warrnambool, and they've continued to support us. We just want to be able to put some strategy in place to get them on course.
Tom O'Connor there speaking yesterday. Let's now head to Matt Kamani. Now, this was big news that hit the shot. The Derby runner-up, unfortunately, is off to Hong Kong. So another potential young star stayer of Australian racing we won't see on our shores. Here's what the trainer had to say yesterday on Racing Pulse.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? Really sad. Sad for the stable and for the horse, probably, but also racing in general, I think. To lose another competitive racehorse is a bit of a shame. But, it does make sense from a business point of view, from the owner's point of view, and he was a lot of fun to have. Just a shame all we managed to achieve was win a maiden. It would have been nice to win a big Group 1 and then send him on his way.
So what were the circumstances? Who's bought him and who's relinquished him?
To be honest, I don't really know. It's actually done. I got a few offers through, which I always passed on to the owner, but they were pretty well short, I think, of what I understand the final price was. But this one went straight to the owners. I think a Bloodstock agent, Cameron Cook, organised the deal. I don't know how much it was for either, I'm afraid, but I think it was a pretty hefty sum, because I'm pretty sure that they weren't too keen on selling initially. But when you get offered a big figure, I think sometimes it just makes sense, and really it'd be silly not to take it.
Time for a break at 13 to 6 on The Breakfast Bite. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with Daniel Medvedev. He's voiced his Australian Open concerns, one of the biggest names in the world of tennis. We'll get a little bit more racing news, some NRL from yesterday, and footy as well. Plus, we'll update you on some live Champions League scores as well.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
In the first half, none of them dropped in. Good start, though, for Bendigo. Nadine Payne lands it back at the other end.
Couple of results in the WNBL last night. Townsville 99 to the Spirit 51. And the Adelaide Lightning got smashed by the Boomers 91-51. So a couple of big results couple of thrashings last night in the WNBL. Just some live scores as well coming through from the Champions League at the moment. Chelsea 1-0 up over Rennes, so they are in the lead at the moment there at half-time. Sevilla currently lead 1-0 over Krasnodar as well. Later on today, Barcelona in action at 7 o'clock, as are Manchester United and PSG. So some huge teams taking on their opponents in about an hour and 10 minutes. So we'll keep you updated on those results as they roll in through the morning. Time now to get to a bit of footy news. Now, let's have a listen to Nick Hind. He secured a move to Essendon after playing last year at St Kilda. Let's hear what he had to say to the Essendon website.
Very exciting. It's been a little bit different coming back through. Obviously, I haven't been back here for 2 years, but I'm just very excited and can't wait to get stuck into it with the boys. Essendon sort of came to me and said that, you know, that'd be the chance they wanted me to come back, and I guess I've always thought about it a little bit. And then, yeah, I just said to the club, the Saints, that, you know, I would like to get back to Essendon, and yeah, they were really good about it. They knew that, you know, the reasons I wanted to get back here and that sort of stuff, so yeah, it just came with me requesting it, and then obviously it went down the last minute. But yeah, it's just really good that I finally got back here. Yeah, so I moved house on the Thursday, which was the last day of the trade period, and took my mind off it, I guess. But yeah, when it got down to the last hour or so, I was getting a bit stressed out, a bit tired from moving. But yeah, just thought I'd take my mind off it. Yeah, he sort of just spoke to me about playing half back, and yeah, I expressed to him how, you know, I really wanted to do that. I obviously played that position at VFL level, and feel like, you know, I played 2 years of forward at St Kilda, and now I'm excited to hopefully take my game to another level at halfback. I'll definitely have to redefine it. It'll take me a little bit to get up to speed, but yeah, I'll be throwing myself into it during the pre-season, and yeah, I'm just really excited for that opportunity. It's always a bit of a laugh when we play VFL stuff against each other when I first left, but no, I'm really excited. I'm very lucky that I get to go to a club where I've already got some good friendships, and yeah, I look to build on them, and you know, hopefully bring some success here as well. I think just the young leaders that they have, you obviously got Langers and Pidge and Frang and all these younger guys that are coming through now, and have sort of, there's obviously been a lot of change, and even Truck coming in with his first year is doing it on his own. I'm really excited about that and being able to build something with that group of younger guys, and obviously a few of the older guys still that are around too. Coming forward, I'm really looking forward to it. But my dad actually is a Madison supporter, so he spoke to me about it, and then when the trade happened, I was like, gee, you know, that's really exciting, and to be able to play at the G in front of, you know, hopefully a big crowd really excites me.
Nick Hind there speaking. Yes, so the new Essendon recruit. Let's head now to the tennis world, where Daniel Medvedev, who is one of the up-and-coming stars. Well, he's already a star, but he might just well be one of those next-generation players to take over from the likes of Nadal and Federer at the top of the sport. He voiced his concerns on the Australian Open overnight.
I don't think tournament is going to happen if, for example, we would need to stay 14 days in the room. Not because, again, complaining that it's boring or something like this. It's just that going out from the room after 14 days of not doing anything and playing a five set straight away, I think would be really...
So there we go, backing up the thoughts of John Millman on The Breakfast Club last week. That is a fascinating little case study. Interested to hear more from Mark Polman's Aussie tennis player, who will chat to the guys at around 7:30 this morning. Let's now head to the rugby world, where Rod Cafer yesterday spoke about the importance of keeping on playing the young Wallabies, even though it is going to produce some inconsistency like we saw last week.
It can certainly cost the side, but there's no alternatives. We can't all of a sudden breed experience. You need to give young players the opportunity to learn and to get better and better. Whilst there are still some players with experience in the side, it's almost like a 50-50 scenario, where 50% of the guys are very, very young, like this guy Jordan Petaia is 21, and the guy who kicked the ball for him, Hunter Paisami, same age. You know, these very, very young players just at the start of their international career, and they are just coming to terms with the difference of international rugby test matches are played at a pace that takes some time to get used to. Our young players in particular are just learning what it's like to be an international player. There's some really good early signs. They're playing, you know, certainly some good rugby at times, but just not for long enough periods to close out games like this.
Rod Cavett speaking on Fox Sports yesterday. The Wallabies back in action in a couple of weeks' time. Let's head now to the cricketing world. Here's what Alan Border had to say about the much-talked-about opening pairing and who should line up with David Warner at the crease for the first ball this summer.
Yeah, they're just going to talk it up. I get where they're coming from. You know, backing the incumbent hasn't done too much wrong, really, as the incumbent. But what's happened in the meantime is that he's not scoring any runs and this young bloke is scoring double hundreds. I don't know what the scenario is or what Will Croft's got to do to sort of, tilt the pendulum into his favour because, what he's done in the last little while has been phenomenal. And the incumbent, albeit has done a great job in the past, you know, how long do you keep rewarding that? It's a tough one. I get it because you want to reward and they're the inner sanctum. They know what's going on behind the scenes. But it's going to be hard to leave that kid out of the side. And what's he got to do to get in? That's what you've got to ask.
Round one of the A-League was released yesterday. There are plenty of TBCs in terms of fixturing because of the uncertainty with the coronavirus crisis. Now, in terms of what is happening in the opening round, we'll see the season start with the newest team in MacArthur FC taking on the Western Sydney Wanderers. Adelaide United will face Western United from here in Victoria. Melbourne City are away to Sydney FC and the Melbourne Victory have a soft launch. They've got the first week off. So that's how it looks at the start of this A-League season. A number of the teams at the moment are actually over in Doha, as we heard, for the Asian Champions League. That's where Melbourne Victory are stationed at the moment. Let's now have a listen to Andrew Redmayne on the tough start to the year for Sydney FC. Now, he's not in Doha with the rest of his teammates because he is waiting for the birth of his first child back here in Australia.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I'm sure the team are very excited over in Doha for the season ahead. And, like you said, it can't start any better way than a grand final rematch to kick things off. Yeah, I think if you look at our first kind of couple of weeks in the league, we have a tricky little start. We've got some tough opposition to come up against. And but having said that, I think as footballers, you want to test yourself against the best. And I think the opening of the season will do that. And I think with the boys over in Doha at the moment, playing against the opposition they are and in tough conditions as they are, it'll hold us in good stead for the season ahead.
Sydney FC to take on Melbourne City on December 30 to open their season. A few New Year's fixtures as well. And the poor old Wellington Phoenix, their season is still very much in the air, not knowing whether they're going to be based back over in New Zealand or here in Australia, but they will be starting their season down under, not knowing whether they'll be going back and forth. Let's now head back to the racing world. We'll hear from John Sadler, who yesterday spoke on Sartorial Splendor, who's due to go around this Saturday.
Yeah, the horse is really good. The reason he's going to the Valley is that he's had three starts there for two wins and a third, so he obviously likes the place. And once again, a short course horse, so even though he's not well suited at the weights in this race, we'll go there and hope for the best. Yeah.
There's John Sadler there speaking yesterday about Sartorial Splendor, who, of course, was a last start winner back in mid-October. Hopefully can do the same thing again on Friday and deliver us a nice little present ahead of racing this weekend. Plenty to get through on The Breakfast Club. Make sure you stick around all morning. Half and Whitey on their way with a big show on your Wednesday. Don't forget Matty Stewart with Racing Pulse and then Gareth Hall with RSN Central from 10:30. Keep it locked on RSN. We'll catch you again tomorrow.